Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Starting and operating a small business against all odds, living largely by your wits, you demonstrate more courage and devotion to a dream than any other non-military American in this century. We are back. It's 13 after. Thank you for joining us. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and you're listening to the show that is dedicated to providing small business owners with the maximum opportunity to be successful. And there are a number of ways you can do that. Number one is just simply to listen, which many of you have told me that's really what you just like to do. You don't want to call in. You don't want to email me. You just want to listen. And when the time comes, when you're moved to do one of those two things, then you will, and you do. But if you would like to call it, today is the day, 888-822-8255. That's the number to call, toll-free, coast-to-coast, inside the U.S., 1-888-822-8255. If you don't want to get on the radio, or if you live somewhere else in the world and you don't want to pay for the phone call, you can email me, and I will do my best to get that email up. If you send it to me quick enough, and you'll send it to me as condensed a form as possible, get your question condensed, and I will try to get your email on and introduce it to our guest, which this hour is Mike Menzies. Mike is the president of Easton Bank and Trust, an independent bank out of Easton, Maryland, beautiful downtown Easton, Maryland, I should say, right, Mike?
That's right.
Good to have you back, Mike.
Thanks. Good to be back, Jim.
Folks, Mike, as I said, is a real live banker, as opposed to those embalmed, petrified bankers that maybe some of you may know. Mike is a real live banker, and he is also, he has another little modifier in front of him, another adjective. He's an independent banker. Now, that doesn't mean that he personally is independent, although he probably is. Actually, what I know about him, he is kind of independent. But independent means that he is not, his bank is not part of a larger holding group or a larger chain bank. Would that be a correct way to say it?
That's exactly right.
And your board of directors, one of the definitions, one of the ways to find out if a bank is an independent bank is they're owned, locally owned and locally managed by a board of directors of local people, typically business people. Is that right?
It's become so unique, Jim, that I was watching TV the other night and they had an independent banker on the Antique Roadshow. They were trying to value him. Had a hard time putting
the
value
on him. That's a good one, Mike. Speaking of which, and by the way, folks, we're going to get into some real banking stuff in a second, but I did want to ask Mike this question. Can you see down the road far enough to when an independent bank or a true independent bank like yours will actually be non-existent?
Not in my lifetime. I don't believe that that independent banks will disappear. I do think that there definitely will be continued consolidation. There'll be fewer of them. And as we go through that process, there will be a valuation, if you will, of the independent bank. People will truly value the relationship they have with their banker versus the opportunity to purchase commodity-type products over the Internet. So while it's a stressful time, I think those banks that come out of the pipeline will truly provide value to their customers. And they'll probably be significantly more diversified than we are today, meaning that they'll be generating revenues from trust services and mm-hmm. from insurance services and some brokerage-related and information services that they may not be in today.
I think the thing that will be more of a factor in that is not the banking industry, but the way we do business in general. I think the way those things will affect all of the ways that we do business. It'll affect all banks, not just independent banks.
Oh yeah, I think that no matter what size business you are, whether you're doing $20,000 a year out of your home, knitting sweaters, or whether you're doing hundreds of millions of dollars, you'll have to be part of the new e-commerce era, mm-hmm. and that'll have to be part of your corporate culture.
Yeah,
and that's just the way it's going to be. And the banks that invest some of their capital today in the future. In e-commerce as ways to be more cost-effective and to provide more value and deliver better service to their customers, they'll still be around.
And you've got to pay attention. You've got to pay attention to meld the technology with the way our society and our culture is changing, and not just the business, not just the marketplace, but the way human beings live their lives these days and in the future.
Well, a key to technology is making sure you don't try to use technology to replace knowledge workers and to replace people. You use technology to increase efficiency and effectiveness and to increase the value that people see in your business and perceive in your business. But for us, we can't use technology as a way of replacing the knowledge worker. We've got to keep the knowledge worker right out front,
right,
talking to people and identifying needs and creating solutions, and keep the technology in the background.
Well, with regard to independent banks, folks, if you've never done business with an independent bank, especially if you are a business owner, I recommend you go check them out. I think you'll find, now they can't do anything legally that a big bank can't do, but there are some things that they can do as individuals, as independents, that the big banks can't do. They're not as heavily laden with all of the different strata of rules and regulations that are there only to serve the big bank, not to serve the customer. And I think you'll find that the relationship will be a lot more interesting. Mike, I'm sure you agree with me on that.
Yes, sir. I appreciate your tooting our horn.
I won't get any argument out of you there, will I?
Yes, sir.
Okay, let's get into, we're going to be taking a break in about a minute. Before we do, I want to get into some of the things, just a quick review of what we talked about last time. You brought up the six C's of credit, and I mentioned that in the old days it was four C's, and you've added two more, and I added one, as you reminded me. But the two that we talked about the most last time was character and cash flow, or character and capacity, and I called it, I use the word cash flow for capacity. Those are two things that we talked about last time, and I wanted to get into some of the others. Give us a quick review of character before we go to the break.
Character is just that. What's the integrity and the ability of the individual? What is their character? Are they someone you would lend your own money to? And if the answer is yes, you know them well enough to want to lend your own money to them, then they pass the character test.
Right. All right. Now, when we come back, folks, we're going to continue to talk about the six C's of credit. These are the things, the little rules of thumb, so to speak, that banks use when they consider loaning you money. And I'd recommend you pay attention to it, especially if you're about to borrow money for your business. 20 after the hour, I'm Jim Blassingame, the small business advocate. Mike Menzies, the president of Easton Bank and Trust out of beautiful downtown Easton, Maryland, is our special guest. We'll be right back. 888-822-8255. We are back. It's 24 after the hour. We're having as much fun as you can possibly have with a banker. Mike Menzies, the president. I'm just teasing Mike. Mike's a lot of fun, folks. Mike Menzies is the president of the Easton Bank and Trust out of beautiful downtown Easton, Maryland. The Chamber of Commerce asked me to say beautiful downtown, by the way, folks, and I'm glad to comply. But I know it is beautiful because I know the part of the world that Easton is in. It's out near the Chesapeake Bay, and that's a beautiful part of the world.
It's magnificent, and we're coming up this November, Jim, on our famous, internationally famous waterfowl festival from the 11th to the 14th of November.
I would love to come up there.
Let me tell you, if you like to watch dogs work or fine art, waterfowl art, it's the greatest waterfowl art show in the world.
I've got to come up there one of these days and do my show from there.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Yeah, see, I can do my show from basically anywhere in the world with the technology today. I'd love to do that. Remind me of that, because I may not make it this year, but maybe next year. I love that stuff.
It's always the second weekend in November.
I love Ducks Unlimited and all that. I've got a lot of Ducks Unlimited, some carvings, you know, the decoys and all that. My son and I used to do that a lot. It's a lot of fun. Okay, we're talking about banking with our good friend Mike Menzies, who's a real live banker, and we're talking about the six C's of credit, and Mike was telling us about character. The next one is capacity. Back before we get out of character, Mike, character is important, obviously, but sometimes your character can come into question, right? I mean, people
Definitely.
People go through things, they go through times in their lives when you know they can't pay their credit, they can't pay their bills, and maybe in the, when if you you know you've heard the term desperate people do desperate things. Yep. Sometimes we do things because we're forced into it for whatever reason. We feel that we're forced into it, and so our character is a little bit becomes a little bit questionable. You can always redeem yourself, can't you?
Well, there's no question that
talk to us about that.
Bankers realize that stuff happens and people can get in trouble, and bankers can get people in trouble by overextending to them.
Yes.
And character is when you sit back and determine what it takes to remedy the situation, even if it is over time. There are lots of people who have gotten in trouble and they've gone into their bank and have said, look, it just isn't going to happen this year, maybe even next year, but we're going to work it out over time. And they do end up paying back their debts. And bankers relate to that. Bankers want to create solutions for people and not just charge off loans and file judgments.
There was a time in my life, Mike, when my fortunes weren't very good, and through no fault of my own, I had a difficult time meeting my obligations. And actually was probably, practically speaking, could have taken bankruptcy without any problem. In fact, I had a bankruptcy judge to tell me that I was an example of what the bankruptcy laws were made for. But my bankers, I told my bankers that I would not do that, and I did not do that, and I paid everyone back. And so I was able to redeem my character with them.
Yeah, and bankers
could have gone the other way.
Yep, bankers will never forget that.
Yeah.
They will always... always want to help you and work with you under those circumstances.
So, folks, if you're out there and right now you're in a period of time where you feel that your character is a little bit in question, well, it's not really you as an individual. It's the circumstances that have been created by whomever. So don't get downtrodden about that. Remember, come up with a plan. Go see your banker. And Mike, would it be okay, would you agree with me to go to your banker or bankers or creditors or whoever, go to them and say, guys, I'm not a deadbeat. I'm not a bad person. I've just got some bad situations here. I want to work this out. Will you help me?
No question about it. And you'll find that many bankers will take haircuts on their loans. They'll reduce the amount that they're owed. They'll drop the interest rates. They'll extend the payments. They'll do anything they can to work with you if you communicate with them, and that's the key. And it's tough because it's an embarrassing and difficult time, but they really do relate to being in the loop and being told what's going on.
If you are imagining how embarrassing it is to go in and talk to these people about your problems, what I want you to do is focus beyond that. Focus on how good you're going to feel after you've had that meeting, and I want you to be almost assured by me and by Mike that the people you're going to go talk to are probably going to receive you very, very well and very admirably, and they're going to admire you for doing that. Imagine, focus forward on how you're going to feel when you walk out of that meeting with the opportunity to redeem yourself. Stand by. We're going to take a quick break. It's 29 after. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and Mike Menzies is our guest. We'll be right back. We are back. It is 33 after the hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Mike Menzies is the president of the Eastern Bank and Trust out of Eastern Maryland, and he's our guest this hour. He's a real live banker, and we're talking about some of the things that bankers want to see from you if you're wanting to borrow money from them. We're talking about the six C's of credit. We just got through talking about character. Let's talk about capacity, what you call capacity, also known as cash flow. Let's kind of review this one, because I think we talked a little bit about it last time, and then let's move on to capital.
A capacity, Jim, is just that. Is what's the capacity of the business operation to repay debt? And debt is broken into its basic components, short-term and long-term. And the short-term capacity has to do with what's called the current asset cycle, the conversion of inventory into sales, into receivables, and back into cash again, and determining that that cycle allows you to have enough cash to pay all of your current liabilities on a regular basis without letting your liabilities stretch out. And sometimes it's appropriate to stretch out your accounts payable as a financing tool, but it's never appropriate to stretch out your accounts payable if it's going to damage your credit.
And it's never appropriate not to pay your bank, right?
That's right. Yeah, that's the most inappropriate of all financial behaviors. But that's where there's an opportunity for the business and the bank, is if you suddenly enjoy a big sale or some new sales or some such thing, and you don't have the cash to finance those sales, then there's an opportunity for a banker to lend to you and to earn some interest and to add value to your business by helping you grow.
And somebody might be saying, well, wait a minute, if you've got all these new sales, why would you need money to finance your growth?
Well,
the reason is because your vendors want their money in 15 days or maybe COD, and your customer will pay you when they want to.
And you just described the meaning of growing broke.
Yep.
Small businesses, many, not just small businesses, even big businesses, mm-hmm. oftentimes will grow broke where they grow their sales and their receivables and their inventory much faster than their ability to finance them. And then all of a sudden they need money and somebody won't give it to them, and they've come up against a wall. So it's important to understand capacity from the standpoint, or cash flow from the standpoint of short-term financing needs.
Mm-hmm.
And then the long-term financing needs are also simple, which is that you need to be generating a profit, an accounting profit, which you can allocate on a monthly basis to repay long-term debt. One of the other big mistakes that small companies make is that they find themselves sitting on some cash and say, well, I'm going to run out and buy a bunch of equipment right mm-hmm. now with that cash. And they buy the equipment and use up all their short-term cash flow,
right.
And then they can't figure out how to buy inventory.
Two of the things that I see more often than anything are being upside down with regard to their AR and their AP. They've got mm-hmm. their days receivable and their days payable are all out of whack. And that's one. And the other is the misapplication of their debt. They've got too much current debt and not enough long-term debt. They've got their current assets. I mean, they've got their capital assets either in current debt or, as you say, they buy it out of current operating funds.
That condition describes, Jim, this explosion in accounts receivable financing that's going on throughout the country today. And small businesses need to be very, very attentive to that kind of borrowing. It can work in very specific situations, but it can also get you in a lot of trouble.
And it's also more of a harness than you ever thought it would be.
Yeah,
because there are so many restrictions, so many covenants that they're called in the contract that you've got to pay attention to. So it's not, it sounds like a quick fix, and it really can be the difference in you growing successfully and not. But there's also a harness that comes along with that, and you need to realize that you might not like being in that harness.
Yeah, it's really it needs to be understood thoroughly before you enter into it.
Right. Let's move on and talk about capital.
Capital, of course, is what's at risk. If the bank's going to put FDIC-insured depositors' money is at risk, then what is the borrower going to put up at risk? And capital can come in many different forms, but the sea of credit that is referred to as capital is basically what kind of risk are you going to take?
Mm-hmm.
Usually, as with SBA loans, the SBA likes to see that there's a dollar of capital of hard money or hard assets at risk for every $4 that are of debt that go into the company.
Right. 80% debt to equity.
Right. It's kind of a rule of thumb.
Mm-hmm.
While I was mentioning the SBA is a wonderful tool for small businesses and for banks to help small businesses grow,
yes.
As is the USDA. There's some wonderful programs out there that are creative and that don't totally substitute the need for capital, but help a company get capital.
Right. All right. Now, capital, one of the things that I like, sometimes I tease bankers about being serial number bankers.
Hmm. Sure.
Meaning that they'll only loan money if you have a title or a serial number. And that's the collateral issue.
Yeah, that's collateral. And bankers like to see several sources of repayment on loans. The first source is cash flow, capacity to repay the loan. They want to feel that they have rationalized either by looking at historical financial information or by evaluating the future, that revenue will be there to repay the debt. They then want to see that there is a fallback position, and that's collateral, something that reduces the risk of the bank.
Mm-hmm.
And you're right, often banks like to see serial numbers, something that they can value in a blue book or value somewhere.
To me, and pardon me, I don't mean, you know, I don't mean this personally, but it's, to some degree, it's banking for dummies. I mean, anybody can loan against a serial number.
That's true.
And that's what we're gonna work our way towards courage in a minute, folks. It's 39 after. We'll be right back with our good friend Mike Menzies. Stay with us. Welcome back, heroes. It's 44 after. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and our special guest is Mike Menzies. He is a real live banker, the president of Easton Bank and Trust out of beautiful downtown Eastern Maryland. Mike, you guys have a website.
We are building our website.
Well, that's right, you're building it.
Yep, and we're building it because we want it to be totally interactive. We don't want it just to be an advertisement. We want it to be a link.
You don't just want it to be a relational, I mean, a relational website. You want it to be an e-commerce website.
It will be an e-commerce website.
Yep.
It will allow, for example, it will allow all of our customers to do e-commerce with all of our other customers. If they want to pay our other customers, interact with our other customers, they'll be able to do so through our website.
Good. Good. Well, let me know when it comes up. We're talking about the six C's of credit, and we're down to collateral. And I just took a shot at bankers everywhere by saying that when I say bankers have to have a serial number before they make you a loan, that's what I call banking for dummies. And the point I was making there, obviously Mike knows I wasn't taking a shot at him, but the point I was making is that it's really easy to make a loan to someone when you've got full collateral. I mean, only when there's some question, somebody has to make a decision about some amount of this loan that might not be collateralized. That's when the real banking comes into play.
No question about it. I mean, it's a no-brainer to make a 50% loan against a house or a car, or 75% loan against stocks and bonds. The real challenge in banking is deriving what I would call a solution, which is figuring out how to structure the loan around the need of the business, and making sure that you're in sync, that you agree on what you're trying to accomplish.
All right, let's move on and talk about something that you call coverage.
Coverage.
Now, that's something that most people really don't have a good... Everybody knows what the first four are, character, capacity, cash flow, capital, and collateral. But what about coverage? That's something that most people just don't think about.
Probably it's one of the most ignored and one of the most important of the C's of credit, the last two being coverage and conditions. Coverage refers to insurance coverage. How can you transfer risk that you don't want in the company, outside of the company, to someone else? And there are lots of insurable risks that need to be insured, in particular when you're dealing with partnerships and exit strategies for two people who one person brings money, the other brings brains. They are very codependent on the success of the business. They need to have an exit strategy if one of them dies or if one of them wants to leave. How can they put together a buy-sell insurance contract? Obviously, hazard risks can be insured, but all too often, small businesses don't spend any time looking at their overall insurance needs and making them part of the business plan. And lots of times bankers don't think about it. It's important.
More and more, though, they are. More and more loans that I see with my clients are involving some kind of life insurance.
Yeah.
The assigning of an existing policy or the creation of new policies.
Certainly at different stages of life, life insurance can be incredibly cheap. And I've seen it make a big difference under unfortunate circumstances.
Well, you know, if you're 50 years old and you want $250,000 worth of life insurance, term insurance, you can get that for, you know, $300-$400 bucks a year.
I don't know exactly what the numbers are, but it's not expensive.
It's not expensive.
What it'll do for you.
And I don't blame a banker. I really don't blame a banker for asking for that. I think that's smart banking. In fact, if I were making a loan to a small business that I probably knew didn't have the kind of succession planning that maybe they, you know, probably don't even need to be having right now. There's too many other things to pay money for and to work on because it's a young business and, you know, that sort of thing. If I were loaning money to a business like that and I was spending a fair amount of my confidence in this loan on this individual, I was giving a lot of credit to character. I would also say, you know, let's trust in God, but we'll keep our powder dry too by having an insurance policy, just so that we can clean this thing up.
I was financing a small business a couple of years ago where it was a husband and wife operation. It was a nursery, and he regretfully was killed in an airplane accident.
Mm-hmm.
And the good news was that he had enough insurance to pay off all the debt of the business and
yeah.
to leave his wife in a position where she could hire a manager and operate the business and continue to operate successfully. And had that policy not been there, that business would have been liquidated. That's all there is to it.
Oh, yeah.
She would have had to sell it.
Well, not only that, but here's what I found, a little term that I use all the time, Mike. When something goes bad, it all starts going bad.
Yeah.
And so what happens is you have the death, the untimely death, and then for whatever reason, the business finds itself in that market cycle or that marketplace or whatever. It's not worth as much as he thought it was, and it's certainly not worth as much when the person who died was still alive.
Right.
And so that comes back on the banker losing money, the owners, the heirs losing money. So I think insurance is coverage is an excellent way to solidify a loan package. And I'll tell you, my personal attitude, I don't mind going at risk for loans on businesses that I want to operate and things that I believe in. I'm an entrepreneur, but I make sure that I've got enough life insurance so that my dreams don't have to be paid for by someone else.
That's right.
If something happens to me, that's a major deal to me. That's something I think is really important. Stand by. We're going to take a break, folks. We'll speak to you after. We'll be right back with our good friend Mike Menzies, the president of Eastern Bank and Trust out of Eastern Maryland. We'll be right back.
I'm on the road again.
We are back in Speak Before After. Thank you very much for joining us. I'm Jim Blassingame, a small business advocate. I want to remind you that some of the shows that are coming at you the rest of the week, Sarah Calvert, our small business attorney, is going to be with us next. Also, Tim Berry and Paul Berry from Palo Alto Software. They're the business plan folks. They're going to be back with us to talk to us some more about how to create, manage, and grow an e-commerce website on the internet. And also Beverly Williams with the American Association of Home-Based Businesses will be joining us. She's not far from our guest Mike Menzies. She's over in Rockville, Maryland. And also Joan Pride with the Kiplinger Letters. That's later in the week. Bill Hubbard, our human resources expert, and Mary Westheimer, lovely Mary, marvelous Mary, as I call her, Westheimer, is going to be with us on Friday, and she's going to be talking to us about some more internet stuff. And all that's coming at you this week, and lots more stuff for the rest of the month. We've got a lot of good stuff for you. As well as this hour with Mike Menzies. This has been a great hour, Mike. We're talking about the six C's of credit and what they mean, how bankers think about them, and what you can do, some of the things that you can do to help your banker to serve you better, to help you accomplish your goals and follow your dream. The last one on your list, Mike, is conditions.
Conditions describes, are the conditions right? Can we sell bikinis to Eskimos? Is this an environment where the business strategy and the business model and the business plan are going to work?
So this is actually where you get into the deal that is being proposed to borrow money for,
right?
And you make your decision whether you like the idea or not.
This is where the banker's got to make some hard and tough decisions, and their value judgment decisions, not just objective number crunching decisions.
Mm-hmm.
And bankers are a resource, and they ought to be used. The Robert Morris Associates, for example, publishes statement studies that allow bankers to compare the business plan numbers with the industry averages and
yeah.
challenge the borrower and say, you know, you think you can hold a 40% gross profit margin here. What are you going to do that's unique to accomplish that? And what, you know, how are we going to market to enjoy that sales growth? And
I use Robert Morris Associates myself. I think it's a good resource.
It's a great resource.
Yeah.
But conditions is the sea of credit that deserves the banker and the borrower to sit down and really challenge the business plan. And I underline the word plan there. You know, planning is everything when it comes to getting to the future. Having it on a piece of paper and revisiting it. And there's nothing wrong with writing a plan and not having it materialize. What's wrong is writing a plan and not revisiting it and determining what caused it to materialize or to not materialize.
Mm-hmm.
And you threw in another C, and I'll leave you with a few additional C's that I think small businesses can use. Courage is for sure a C of credit. You need to have a borrower and a banker who are looking at each other together and have the courage to go make it work, and they make a commitment together to make it work. Creativity is awfully important in this environment today. If you're just static, I think you're out of business.
Mm-hmm.
Coopetition is a great new word.
I like that word.
Coopetition is a word that describes finding synergy with your competition.
Strategic alliances.
Strategic alliances. Customers is another C. Really and truly, who are your customers? Who allows you to profit by providing them service? Most businesses don't know that 80% of their profits come from less than 20% of their customers.
We're going to have to get into that next time.
Okay.
Which will be a next time. You've agreed to come back with us, haven't you?
Sure.
All right. Mike Menzies, president of Eastern Bank and Trust out of Eastern Maryland. Thank you very much for being here today.
Thank you.
We'll see you next time. You did a great job. Got to wrap it up for this hour, folks. Before I go, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners, because without your courage, hard work, and devotion to your dreams, America would not be the greatest country in the world. And remember, never be afraid to try something new. Amateurs built the Ark. Professionals built the Titanic. This is Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and this program is for you.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.